Good morning, everybody. So for the last couple months, we've been working on spiritual disciplines. And for those of you who are growing weary, I promise there's only two more. Today is the next week's. Today we're talking about guidance. We'll be in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 27, if you guys want to start turning to that. That's Romans chapter 8. Verses 22 through 27. And then next week, I didn't plan it this way, but it just happened to fall that the final corporate discipline is celebration. And so next week, we will be talking about the corporate discipline of celebrating God's gift to us on the Sunday following Thanksgiving, on the day we do communion, and we have a big potluck after. So God's hand was definitely in how that came across, because when I sat down in the middle of August and started prepping this service series or these sermon series, I didn't think I was going to have one or two in there I couldn't make because of some pre-planned vacations and the appointment and calling to serve here. So some things had to have his hand in it to get to where we are today. Now, I can remember, and you can raise your hand if you can remember doing this too, but my family was the proverbial American family, where every summer we took like a week long and we went on a vacation. Did some of you have that experience growing up? You'd all pile in the car. And, of course, back in the late 70s, early 80s, the air conditioners didn't work as well as they do today. So inevitably, as you're going down the road, and for those of you who are even older who didn't have air conditioning, you can really understand this side. You know, it's all hot and sweltering in the back, and you're bored, and you're starting to cause trouble as a kid in the back seat. But a magical thing happened when I was about 14 years old. Instead of my dad navigating and my mom helping navigate wherever we went, I got handed the map. Can any of you remember that moment when you were given the map to kind of say, this is where we're going, you need to get us there? Now, my dad wasn't a stupid man, so he had gotten these things from AAA called triptychs that had it all highlighted and told you exactly where to go. But I had the map. I was at a point in my life where I was guiding the family. I was giving some new responsibility to guide the family and the direction we were headed. And if I screwed up, it took away from the time that we would have when we got to where we were trying to go to have fun. So there was some responsibility, there was some reward in it, because when we got down there, I'd gotten us there. It's a wonderful experience to grow up in. So guidance can be a really strong, positive thing, not just for those who receive it, but for those who give it. And so today we're going to talk, as I said, the spiritual discipline of guidance. Not individual guidance, but in a corporate setting. And in order to understand that, we're going to have to look at a few layers, and that's where we're going to go now. So if you could please stand with me as we read God's word in Romans 8, 22 through 27. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought to. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity to be in your word today. The little bit of warmth at the end of a cold spell, even though it's raining, Lord. We thank you for so many things that we don't even know what to thank you about half the time. But as we're going to learn today through the Holy Spirit, you know exactly what's in our heart. And no matter how mumbled or jumbled our prayers or our requests may be, that You know deep what's in us, even more so than what we know what's inside of us. Lord, we give thanks that you sent the Holy Spirit and paved his way with Jesus, that we may have this relationship with you. Lord, we pray this through Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So as we talk about guidance, there's a few things in here that we need to fret out before we go any further, because there's some confusion inside of it, and some of you might have picked it up. In 22 and 23, it talks about this groaning, this underlying pain or suffering that we experience. And it talks about how all of creation suffers. And this is from the fall, from the original sin where Adam and Eve were disobedient to God, were sent out from the garden to live in what was outside of what God's plan for humanity was. And this has created suffering and pain, stress, frustration inside our lives. And the interesting thing is Paul here doesn't say that it's just the people, but he also includes us as believers, those who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in God still have to go through the suffering. And it even goes past what humans suffer, but that the creation itself, the earth and all the animals and all the trees and all the plants and everything else that's within it that has been created, which is everything, suffers along with the fall and the price to pay for. And so we are in an area or in an environment that is completely surrounded with suffering, not just internally to ourselves, but in its creation. So the earth suffers. It is pining for the return of the kingdom so that it can be healed just as much as we pine, just as much as we wish for the return, so that we may be healed. And inside of this, a little bit further down, there's this beautiful thing, for in this hope we were saved. I need to clarify that because it's kind of a little misgiving. It's not our hope that saves us. It's our faith in Christ who creates the hope that saves us. So when they say hope here, they're actually linking it to the hope that Christ on the cross created for all believers. And that is what our saving grace is. Is Jesus Christ. And because he did what he did on the cross for us, we may have hope that God will follow through with the promises he has given us. We'll explain that a little bit more at the end of the service here today. But so this is the setting. Imagine when we start realizing exactly how much turmoil there is in the world, and to the point where even the ground itself is groaning for the return. That this is the environment we live in. It should be no surprise that God, Paul here specifically points to the fact that we need guidance. And the Bible doesn't come out and say it unless Psalms and Proverbs, where it's talking about wisdom, to seek God's guidance, to seek his will. Here it's hidden a little bit, but it gives the basis for why guidance is so important. And that's in verse 27. So our first highlight, our first blank to fill in is that guidance equals God's will. There's no difference between the two, that if we are actually seeking righteous guidance, a guidance that will bring us into having hope, we have to seek God's will. The important part to do or understand is that God's will is brought through the Holy Spirit. We read that in verse 27. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Here Paul is reminding us that it's the Holy Spirit who intercedes and makes sure that God's will happens within us. Because a little bit earlier we talked about, and we'll get to it a little bit more here in the future, that we as humans don't even know what we should pray. We don't even know what's truly in our hearts to be speaking. How many have had that experience where you fall to your knees and you are just so confused about what you should pray about. You don't even know what to pray for. But days, weeks, hours, whatever the time is, when that situation comes to resolve and you sat there stammering before the Lord about what to pray for, you see the resolution and you know that the Holy Spirit has been guiding it the entire way, even though you didn't even know what to say. See, this is the beauty about allowing the Holy Spirit to have the work that it was created to do. To come into our lives, to be that intercessor, to speak. Now, the one that he speaks is that he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. See, the he in there is Jesus. And because Jesus is touched with the Holy Spirit, and they are a trinity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because there is a family, a unity that is so close, so tight, that they're sometimes not even noticeable between the two of them, and become so interwoven that they look as one, because they are one. He knows exactly what the will of the Father is, and he knows exactly what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to say, whether we can get to it or not. So we have to trust that it's God's will that's brought through the Holy Spirit, our understanding, our knowledge. In Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, we read, "For as the rain and the snow come down from the heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I propose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. See, God's guidance will become reality. God's will become reality. He will send it forth. He will speak his word. Just as in Genesis 1, he spoke and creation came into being. His word will not come out and fall upon empty ears. It will not come out and not grow. It will not move forward as he wants it to. Because his word has power. And if we look at it, it's the Holy Spirit that brings us understanding. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks even when we don't know what to say. That brings about God's will. We need to come forward. We need to understand that it's through the Holy Spirit that we need to be listening to what God's will is also. In John 6, verses 38, we find out that even Jesus himself sought God's will. "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus came down. Jesus is divine, fully and completely divine, along with fully and completely flesh. And yet, he understands that's the will of the Father that he is there to accomplish. He is seeking God's guidance. He's saying that he is submitting to following what God's will is in the situation. Can you imagine that conversation? To think of Jesus coming before the Father and asking for help and assistance. What is your will? What am I supposed to do here? We see it in his prayer life where he removes himself. We see it as he goes into the wilderness. He does these things. He enters prayer to find God's will. He enters the wilderness to understand what God's destiny for him is more deeply and completely. If one thing out of Jesus' whole life that we learn, if none of the other things of how he loves or how he teaches, if we learn one thing, it's how he sought God's guidance to ensure he was following God's will. To constantly go before the Father and ask, "What is your will in this situation?" becomes so important. Because as he guides us, his will be done. Now, we need to die onto ourselves a little bit of that, because we have to surrender what our will is in a situation and truly seek what His will is. And if we don't, then we can't ask or can't blame anybody but ourselves for what the outcome is. Because if we sit there and we instill our will on it instead of seeking God's guidance on what His will is for the situation, then we have nobody but ourselves to blame when we stand before and go, that didn't go very well, Lord. What did you do? Why didn't you do that right? No. God will always accomplish what His goal is, what His will is, what His destiny is. We're the ones who get in the way sometimes. And so we just need to make sure that we are seeking His will, that we're going before Him and seeking His guidance and how He wants us to do things in our conversations and how we do ministry and how we serve and how we do all things in our lives. We need to stop and seriously consider whether we are seeking His will or our will. So that moves us to the second point today, that we need God's guidance through the Holy Spirit. We can't ask for God's guidance unless we ask through the Holy Spirit, because we just found out that the Holy Spirit, even when we don't know what to say, brings God's brings an understanding to what God has for us in that. But even more so, we read in Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. The beauty about the Holy Spirit, that thing that dwells within us upon our acceptance of Jesus Christ and our faith, is the fact that it is everywhere. No matter where we go, no matter to what extremes or what depths we travel, whether we go to the most godless lands in the world or just down the block to the convenience store, the Holy Spirit is present. If we remember this, we can seek its guidance. We can seek the wisdom that it brings up. And that's the next part, John 16, 12 through 13, that Jesus promises us that we will understand the truth through the Holy Spirit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. Think about that. Jesus is telling us that what He Himself came to tell us, we couldn't bear the full load of it at the time. We wouldn't understand if He tried to explain all things at that time. He understood there was a maturing process that was going to have to happen, but He sent us someone to help us with it. He sends the Holy Spirit that we may come into knowledge of the full truth. And the beauty about it is the Holy Spirit doesn't have any consideration for itself in it. It doesn't speak with its own authority. And the funny thing is the Holy Spirit has all the authority in the world to do what it wants. It is fully divine, just as Jesus and the Father Himself are. Yet, as Jesus submitted to God the Father's will, to go to the cross, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of its own authority, but listens to what God's will is for things and helps intercede to make sure that God's will happens by showing us what the truth is. So it's through the Holy Spirit that we gain knowledge, that we gain the truth of what we're supposed to be doing, what God's will is for us. So now we take the Holy Spirit, which is ever present everywhere we go, to whatever depths we may travel, with an understanding that's the Holy Spirit that shows us the truth of the situation, we can start seeing the power that lies within the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. But it doesn't just stop there. We see in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. In Mark chapter 13, verse 11, you see another aspect to this. And when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Here we see two separate areas, one in our prayer life and one when we're being convicted. Two of the most difficult moments, because we usually hit our knees and bow our heads when we're having difficult times. And then when we're being convicted, when we're being accused of something, these are the two times that we're supposed to rely on the Holy Spirit, we're instructed. To bring the truth to the situation, to speak for us when we don't even know what we are to say. Not just in our prayer lives, but also when people are accusing us and convicting us for who we are and what we believe. Think of it this way. We always kid ourselves about being by ourselves all the time, and we'll get it done ourselves. One song that we were singing about, I'm the one who always says that I've got enough strength. But with the Holy Spirit, you yourself are never alone. You have the person of the Holy Spirit. He is constantly with you. And he's showing you the truth, and he's everywhere that you are. We talk about being an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Honestly, we're just the vehicle moving the ambassador from place to place. If we start understanding to the level that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, brings us wisdom, is present in all places that we travel. We're no different than the Ford or the Lincoln Continental that moves the ambassador from place to place. Because it's the Holy Spirit that's actually doing God's will. We're just the embodiment of how it's getting done. But that's a huge part. And if we fail to take that up, if we step back and we refuse to take on that task, then the Holy Spirit loses its effectiveness. Because while the Holy Spirit is fully God and fully Spirit, it interacts on the spiritual side. It requires the flesh to do the fleshly duties. That's why we're part of it. See, the Holy Spirit will guide us when we do not know what to pray or what to say in the situation. We just have to ask for it. How many times have you been in a conversation where you didn't know what the next thing was to say? Have you ever been in that uncomfortable moment when someone says, I don't think I can go on anymore. I don't know how I'm going to feed my family this week. And you're like, oh my gosh, what do I say? Stop. Pray. Lord God, what is your will on this? Invoke the name of Jesus and put yourself in the right frame of mind that you may seek what his will is in that moment versus what your will of uncomfortableness and wanting to get out of the situation is. And do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do. See, when we stop, and we stop pursuing our will, and we start seeking God's guidance for what his will is, that's when we start having hope. God's guidance fuels hope in all of our lives. We read in Psalm 78, 52 through 54, an overing tone is that God has delivered the Hebrews in this psalm. Then he led out his people like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them in safety so that they were not afraid. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to his holy land, to the mountain which his right hand had won. This is the short narrative of the salvation of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, out of Egypt. Into the wilderness, where he was guiding them and feeding them for 40 years, caring for them for 40 years. As the Egyptian army chased them across, he crashes, instead of taking them up through the Philistine area. He brings them to the Red Sea, parts of the Red Sea, and then uses it to crush their enemies so that they may be safe. The reason he does that is because he doesn't want to draw them through the Philistine area because it's in war, and he doesn't want them to turn around and head back out of fear of war. So not only does he shelter them from seeing a war-torn area that may create fear in their lives, but he does a miracle by parting the Red Sea and then destroying the enemies that pursue them, that they may have safety and security. Through his guidance, they could have chosen to deny it and head through the land. They could have all said, no, I don't know why you're heading to the Red Sea. That's that much longer of a journey. We don't have boats to get across. We can't move all these people across it. But they accepted God's guidance. And through it, he created protection and safety. We see this also in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eye. As the Hebrews had their promise and God's guidance moving them through, we have Jesus as our guide. And in it, we see here in Revelations that he will act as our shepherd, as God acted as the Hebrew shepherd, as the Father did there. Jesus, the Son, will act as our shepherd. And he will guide them in a way that brings them to a living water, a constant spring that's bubbling up inside of us. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the hope that is created and united in each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's the promise that no matter what the groanings that we read in 22 and 23 of Romans 8 speaks of, will eventually subside. Every tear will be wiped away. This is the hope, the promise that Jesus has brought, that eventually he will return upon the Father's command. And the kingdom will rise. And we will be redeemed and adopted as sons and daughters to the Father to recreate the relationship that was meant initially in the garden in Genesis 1. This beautiful place where all food and all safety is, just as the Hebrews had as they moved through the desert with God's hand protecting them for 40 years. Jesus will recreate this for us. All those groanings, all those sufferings that we read about, that Paul reminds us that even as Christians, even as those of faith, we have to suffer through while here in the flesh and body, will be subsided through Jesus Christ, our hope. And it is Jesus Christ and the hope that he brings that saves us. Because now, instead of having to worry about today's sufferings, we can look towards tomorrow's promise of every tear being wiped away. But this only happens when we submit to God and we seek his will. Because if we're following our will, then the flesh is ruling. And it's driving us forward. And instead of God's will being done, instead of God's destiny coming to life through us, we now become that slowing motion. So what do we do with all this? Where do we go from here? There's a few things that we need to think about as we walk out of here today. First of all, you need to know your resources, what you can do to seek God's guidance. Now remember, this didn't come during the inner disciplines, and there's a reason for it. By ourselves, we are all too quick to seek our will. How many people have done that before? No show of hands. No show of hands. I'm sure I'd probably get a lot. But the fact is, how many people have prayed, and as you're praying, suddenly your will creeps in? And suddenly you're going, well, God, you're doing contract things. If you do this for me, Lord, I'll do this for you. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. We've all done that. We've all been on our knees where we've had that happen. There's a reason that guidance comes in the corporate aspect of discipline. It's because by ourselves, we will normally fall into the temptation of seeking our will. Our prayers will not be for God's will, even though we may pay homage to it. Lord God, let your will be done. But it'd be really nice if you would do this. So our prayer within Scripture, these are individual things that we can do corporately. When we pray as a family, when we pray as a body, we tend to lose ourselves in that moment. We truly come to an understanding of praying for God's will in the situation. When I stand up here, I guarantee you, you will never hear me say, Lord God, if you would do this for me. Because I understand that as I'm up here, I'm praying for all. And I have to suppress anything that's me. So when we're in corporate, we tend to have this, and whether it's pride at first until we grow mature enough to understand that that's what we should be doing, it leads us to understand a greater good than just ourselves. As we go over Scripture in corporate levels, when I go through here and we study Scripture out of Romans today, I don't do it for myself, but I do it for a body. So that makes me have to dig deeper on areas where I may or may not be so concerned about. It challenges us. It's no different for you that as you practice studying Scripture amongst each other, where other ears are hearing you and posing the questions to them, that helps grow you. It helps strengthen what your understanding is because now you have more minds, maybe deeper maturity, stronger understanding, voices speaking into what the verses are. Group studies are in that same aspect, that when we come together in small group, when we have men's groups, women's groups, youth groups, married couples coming together, and we hit a tough spot. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I'll read something and I'll be like, I'm not sure what that means. Have you all had that moment in your life? I'm not quite sure if that really has anything to do with anything I understand. There's plenty of that in here. When we talk about the Scripture, there's plenty of times that we are left wanting a greater understanding. See, but when I'm by myself, there's this chance that I may not get that. But when I have someone else along with me and they go, hey, I don't get that either, I feel relief. But now I have another partner to start studying and growing and understanding it more deeply. See, when we are in a group, we are stronger. We grow. We become deeper because we're challenged. And all too often, our individual will lessens when we're challenged. And we're too quick to go sit on the couch versus rising to the challenge by ourselves. Think about that in service. When you get challenged to be out by yourself, and you're out raking the yard by yourself, and you start getting tired, it's real easy. It's time to go get a sip of water. It's time to go do this. Now picture yourself in a yard full of people. And everybody's raking along, and you don't want to be the first one to drop out. Yeah, we've all been there. See, as a group, we challenge ourselves more to make the group better. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as our heart's in the right place. I'm a strong advocate for accountability partners, those people that are so true in your lives that you can drop the biggest, ugliest, nastiest bombs on. And they just sit there and go, yeah, man, been there. Let's walk through this together. Or I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here for you. You just keep on venting and we'll figure something out in the end. Let's pray. Let's go to the Word. Let's find a Scripture that talks about that. If you don't have an accountability partner, if you don't have a fellow Christian that you feel that you can trust enough to sit down and actually have serious, heartfelt conversations, you need to find one. Because how do you go before God and ask for His guidance by yourself when you're not even sure what He's doing? You're at that point where you're trusting the Holy Spirit is groaning for you because you don't know where you're supposed to be or what you're supposed to be doing. But if you've got that partner to go to and you're at that moment and you go, listen, I don't know what's going on. This is what I'm feeling. I don't know where it's moving me. What do you think? And you know that they're a true, solid Christian that can stand you up and hold you true to the Word of God. then you are seeking God's will. That person to challenge you, are you talking to God about this? Are you praying about that? Have you thought about praying about this? Because I think that might be a bigger issue that you need to deal with first, and that may be why you don't hear what God's trying to tell you about what you're asking him. It's because you're still dealing with this. See, that is good, strong, righteous, spiritual, scriptural guidance. Being pushed to seek God's will. Towards the end, I put here sermons, devotions, and books for a reason. You can seek guidance here, but there isn't much give and take. Pretty much you guys sit there, I give it, you gotta take it. But the fact is in sermons, as we study deeper meaning of what Scripture has to say, we come to an understanding. We see God guiding us as we go. And so in our sermons, in our devotional life, as we study or read books out there that are scripturally based, that is guidance. And the great thing about books is you may sit there and think, oh, I'm seeking guidance on my own right this moment. But you're really not. Because the author took the time to write it. He's just as God has a conversation through the Bible with us, that author's kind of having a conversation with you. Because how many people can read a book and not ask yourselves questions as they're posed to you? You start answering. It could be like me. If you ever come into the office, you might hear me speaking. It's because I'm engaging myself. I do better when I'm used to being around a lot of people, and now I have a very quiet office that I'm sitting in. And so I need to create noise every once in a while. So as I'm sitting and reading, every once in a while when there's a question, I'll walk through it, I'll talk through it, as if I'm having a conversation with that author. It may sound a little bit weird, but we all do it in our minds, whether we voice it or not. We all start having those moments where we're having those conversations. I let the author answer. I don't answer myself, but I keep that fine line from insanity out of there. But there's no difference in it. And then finally, you know, devotions. As you sit down and you pour your 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever you can cut out for daily devotions into Scripture and asking God, what does that mean? And start having that conversation with God, you are by far seeking God's guidance at that moment. So once you know your resources, then you can start practicing them. You can start studying in a way that is seeking God's guidance. You can start coming to small group in an understanding of what small group was meant to be, much deeper than just a simple Bible study, but actually a life-changing opportunity to seek God's guidance or seek his wisdom as the body instead of as an individual. So then we have to ask ourselves, if we're truly evaluating whether we are seeking God's guidance in all of our situations. This is a tough one because we don't always get that neon sign that points out and says, hey, yes, this is God's guidance for you. This is where you're supposed to go. And so we have to weigh it against what the Scripture tells us, where we're led to be versus the knowledge of where we should be. Too often we sit there and we start pursuing something initially of our will. And then once we start running into complications or confusion or frustration in that, then we go to prayer. God, I felt you were leading me to do this, and now it's not working out. What's not going right? Instead of doing it that way, when you get the initial over here, I think I should do this. Get to your knees and ask, Lord God, is this your will that I pursue this? Put the prayer, accountability partners, seeking God's wisdom in his Scriptures. Put all that at the beginning before you start doing something. And I promise you that when you do that, you will understand better what God's will is in that situation or that task he's setting you out on, and what his will and what his want is for that situation, instead of wading into that situation assuming that because you feel it's important that God shares that passion with you. Put it up front so that it can serve and glorify God through all of it, versus when you come to a point where you no longer can do it by yourself And now you're begging for his help in it. Let him be what works in that situation versus him that rescues that situation. And the final thing that we need to ask ourselves is that we need to die on ourselves and be prepared to seek help from others in determining whether or not you are doing that. See, like I said before, when we sit down and we only ask ourselves and only ask ourselves if we should be doing this or whether this is right or wrong, we're trusting that we understand the brevity and the entirety of the Holy Scripture. I can tell you right now, I do not know everything that is in the Bible. I do not understand it all. I do not even pretend to have a complete understanding of even all, parts of all books. So when you sit down and you start pursuing what you think is God's work, ask others. Be willing to die unto yourself and not feel that you have the wisdom or the strength by yourself to accomplish what you feel God's leading you to do. But instead, before you start it, go to others and start building a network to help you through it. Any ministry, any service that we do should be built this way, that first we go to our knees and we pray for God's guidance. We pray for his wisdom in the situation. We pray that he builds a team around us to make it work, that his will can be done, that he can be glorified in it as we go through that ministry. And then as we shift into that and we start adding these people to it, they start adding their voices and how they feel God is guiding them in that ministry. And suddenly the ministry gets much fuller. It becomes stronger. It can take on those conflicts that run into it or those parts where you're like, well, we were hoping for 100 people at that event and we only got 15. Ugh. But if you put all the work in the front end of it and you know what God's will is, you have patience for where it may go in the future because people understand what God's will is. It's no longer just Scott's will or Scott's want to see something happen, but instead it becomes God's will through this team that things will happen. See, when we start seeking God's guidance in a corporate environment, we automatically start suppressing our will, ourself. And we start becoming part of the body versus trying to be the head of the body. Because the only head of the body is Jesus Christ. He's who we seek. He's the guidance that we should look towards. We need to die so that we may sacrifice and honor what he died on the cross for. Because that is what created the hope that gets us through day to day, that suppresses the groanings that we may get past them and that we may grow and that we may stand before God and hear, good and faithful servant, because we have always sought his will versus our will. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and thank you for your word and your wisdom. We ask that you help us die unto ourselves and to follow your will, Lord, is tough. As Jesus set the example to sacrifice himself at your request, we ask that we are able to sacrifice ourselves to be your true and honest and complete spiritual worship. Lord, it is through your guidance that your will comes to completion. And we thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to show us the truth, to strengthen us, to give us courage to say those things or be what is needed when we don't have it ourselves. Lord, your guidance is what we seek. It's what we ask for. It's what we come before you today to understand. the guidance that you set forth for each and every one of us, but this body as a whole. Lord, let your will be what is truly done. Amen.